This leader is provided to permit the projectionist to complete adjustment of focus and sound level before the film begins.
That's right, everybody. I'm back. It's been 18 months since I've slaved over a hot microphone. We're going to have sports takes. We're going to have guests. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't judge too hard because it's only episode one, March 15th, 2024.
Initiate explosion in 3, 2, 1.
That's right, everybody. Welcome the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. That's me, Josh Lamb, the JLSBX, as it is. Excited to get going again. 18 months since the last time behind a microphone talking to all you knuckleheads out there. Sports ballers, everyone from back in the day. We're going to have a lot of fun doing this stuff. Again, take it easy on me. This is episode number one. We have a live studio audience. We have a live band, if you believe any of that. And we're coming to you from live from the $8 million studio. In the middle of Iowa, just in the middle of nowhere. Got a lot of fun today. We're going to hit some things real quick today. I got a couple guests coming up. You may remember them from the older show, the Sports Ball and Retro Show. Frank Rapier and Dennis Brown will be joining us. They should be frequent onto the show, contributing. Others from the past shall be joining in us at certain times. But either way, let's get this thing off and running. As a throwback to the olden days, the Sports Ball and Retro Show. This one goes out to you, Dave Sigfus, my co-host for the show. Give you a little funk as we start this week of sports here. So, without further ado, we're going to hit our stories here real quick. Going to do some stuff, and then we're going to talk to Dennis and Frank here in just a minute. First things first, in the world of sports, out goes Juwan Howard at the University of Michigan. Now, if you know anything about my personal sports takes, I have zero sympathy for anything about the University of Michigan. However, I will say this is completely unexpected. An 8-24 record from a guy that was part of the Fab Five. He had this team on the upward swing in the last couple years, and with it being Michigan the way it is, I would tend to think simple recruitment should be there for him. So there must be something internally. This is a developing story as of this morning. We'll get into it if more occurs. But sayonara, Juwan Howard, part of the Fab Five. Not so fabulous, the tenure here in Michigan. In the world of the NFL, which we're going to talk a lot today, at the age of 32, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald retires. This is the guide. If you want to see a fun clip out there, kids, go look up Aaron Donald tackling two players at the same time. He did this at a D1 level. So, an amazing player, was an anchor of that Rams defense. Got a Super Bowl there, two Super Bowl appearances. What can I say? Just a man beast. An absolutely devastating on the interior for the Rams. And for all that we could tell, was completely legit, never any steroid allegations, things like that. Just seemed well-liked around the league. Most definitely a first-ballot Hall of Famer, unless some of those things I just said could come to fruition, but I doubt that they will. So, sayonara, Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams. We're going to bring in, we're going to talk a lot of free agency. We got a lot to cover today, so I'm going to bring in the guys here in just a second. But before I do, I'm putting out a shout-out, a second one, if we will, to the previous show. This goes out to my buddy Dennis and Dave. That I'm going to set up this clip here. This is Mr. Tommy Lasorda, rest in peace. This is it to get a little backdrop on this story. This is Lasorda after being accused of ordering a pitcher to go high and tight on a couple batters, and the next day, these guys, Lefebvre and Bavacqua, being the names of these players, had insisted that Lasorda be fired, or as the Bevacqua called him, the fat little Italian man, for ordering such a hit. And in response to that, Lasorda had nothing else but an epic response to that. I'm going to play that clip, and when we come back, we're going to bring in Frank and Dennis.
Don't go anywhere, anywhere at all. We'll be right back after this very important thing, or whatever.
Tell you what I think about it. I think that is very, very bad for that man to make an accusation like that. That is terrible. I have never, ever, since I've managed, ever told a pitcher to throw at anybody, nor will I ever. And if I ever did, I certainly wouldn't make him throw at a fucking 130 hitter like Lafay or fucking Bevacqua, who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a fucking boat. And I guarantee you this, when I pitched and I was going to pitch against a fucking team that had guys on it like Bevacqua, I sent a fucking limousine to get the cocksucker to make sure he was in the motherfucking lineup, because I kicked that cocksucker's ass any fucking day in a week. He's a fucking motherfucking big mouth, I'll tell you that.
And that is without further ado, bringing in our guest today, Dennis Brown and Frank Rapier. That was just for you, Dennis. Do you miss that one?
Oh, absolutely. That's my favorite clip of all time, of anything.
Lasorda being accused of ordering a pitcher to go upstairs on a 180 hitter, and that was his reaction to the press via 1982-83. The man, the myth, the legend he was.
Oh, he was the absolute, he was the best. And the fact that he was Italian explains all of it, why he lost his shit like he did. And we need more people like him in sports. I miss Bill Parcells and
Tommy Lasagna. That's who he was.
Absolutely.
It's very good to hear from you guys. I'm calling you via Zoom through the $8 million studio here in middle of Iowa. Frank and Dennis there. Frank, how you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm living the dream every day. The fact that I get to come on here and just shoot the shit with you guys about sports, it really makes my day. It makes my week. So I'm revved up. I'm ready to go. Got a 4-day weekend coming up, so I'm gonna do a bunch of Irish shit, I guess. I don't know what that means, but that's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, cultural appropriation, as they call it. Assume to be Irish so you can get pissed drunk and eat green things and corned beef and cabbage. We'll do the same thing May 5th. You know, why not?
Yeah, oh, I have my sombrero ready for May 5th.
Very good. Yeah.
Because, you know, if you look at me in a sombrero, I mean, yeah. Ice cream Dos Equis, I guess. I don't know what that means, but. Okay.
Not to get too much far off topic, but I've always wondered, how long is it going to take Americans to make Arbor Day a drinking holiday, since we seem to do that with everything else?
Wait a minute. You mean it's not?
See, that's what I mean. You got to catch this on, Frank.
I might have a problem then.
It should be. I mean, that was the great thing about us when it came to cultural appropriation. We take everybody's holidays and we make them our own.
Yeah, there you go. See you the next Arbor Day, shit-faced. Let's get right into it. NFL free agency being the hot topic of this week. I'm going to hit on three people specifically, and then you guys can join. Throw me some other ones, whoever you're thinking of. First, I'm going to start with this one, Derrick Henry to Baltimore. Now, we see this a lot through the years, the running back shelf life being, you know, 3.2 years, and no matter how good, you know, someone could be at the top of the rushing game and then all of a sudden they fall off a cliff. They don't go downhill in a nice slope, you know what I mean? It's not like
Sean Alexander,
Larry Johnson, Jamal Charles, Tomlinson. I mean, the list goes on. There you go. It's not like Walter Payton's the only exception to this, but I mean, it's not like they go from running 1,800 yards to 1,600 to 1,400. It's usually 18.
Sean Alexander scored 28 touchdowns in a season, set the record, and then literally fell off the proverbial cliff.
Yeah.
Like we've never seen.
Wasn't
it's
he
the craziest thing I've ever seen in football?
Wasn't he and Larry Johnson and another like premier back all in the backfield of the Redskins in like 09 or something with Shanahan? Like that was like the washed up,
yeah,
the four horsemen of the washed up backs or something like that.
Clinton Portis, I think, was the other one.
Well, who Clinton was, wasn't washed up though at the time.
Who was the dude that, from Pittsburgh? Who was the dude from Pittsburgh? Not Bettis. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is good pod. Oh, us man, all not thinking about it. Yeah. He had a name that was like big, like fast or something, you know, it was like quick, you know, not like, you know what I mean?
Right here.
Oh, well, we'll figure it out as everybody's screaming at their devices. Well, moving on to this, but Derrick Henry being the point of this, you know, he's not the back that he was, but he's still probably got something in the tank there. My question is, did Baltimore think that running the ball was going to be the answer to their problems?
You know what's funny is, first of all, it was Barry Foster. It just came to me. I'm not sure if it was Kenny Chesney or Jesus that spoke to me, but to answer the Redskin question. But this move to me, I don't think it's a horrible move. I don't think that he's going to be what he was in Tennessee. But the last couple of years in Tennessee, that team just kind of went down the toilet. So Derrick Henry was, I mean, he was overused. I think it's going to be a fresh start for him, so I think he'll be okay. But to answer your question, no, that's not the issue. I'll say it, Baltimore is a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl.
I'm right with you, and I know we agree on the social media with that quite a bit, because Lamar is a spectacular athlete, but he is not an accurate passer, and he's not an accurate passer against elite defenses, and that's who you play in the playoffs.
Yeah, my question is, who's the other running back? He has to be a two-headed monster. This is why I thought it was odd that Pollard went to Tennessee. It's like Pollard's not a good running back on his own. He's not a guy that you're going to give the ball to 25, 30 times a game. He's not that kind of guy. Now, if you pair him with like Derrick Henry, then yes, now you have quite the tandem. Now you send Derrick Henry to the Ravens where they have Lamar Jackson, who is probably the greatest running quarterback of all time. Michael Vick might want to argue about it, but probably not. Well, who's the other running back? Because he's not going to carry the ball 25 times. I wouldn't even want him to, especially at his age.
No, not at
all. So I'm thinking, you know, you're going to bring this guy in on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 1, anything in between there, where you're not bringing him in on 1st and 2nd down all the time, and he's got all that gas in the tank and goal line situations. Yeah. I mean, this is scary. The biggest issue with the Ravens is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that with, going off what you were just saying, the 3rd and short situations and him being essentially fresh the whole game, because if he'd be carrying less than 15 times, is this an Eagles effect?
Yeah, I sort of. I mean, to me, the Eagles, what they're doing is they're just blowing through running backs. They're not really even doing tandems, because every year it's one guy that's running the ball most, the overwhelming majority of the time. What I'm talking about is like what Pollard and what's his name? The other running back in Dallas. Before he went to the Patriots, Ezekiel Elliott. That's what I'm talking about. The last couple years with Zeke and Pollard, you need that kind of dichotomy between those two running backs in Baltimore for that to be like incredibly effective.
Now, well, and you, also, sorry, I didn't mean, go ahead.
No, I was just saying you add Lamar Jackson into the mix and then it makes the whole thing incredibly volatile, which is why I think this is a, this is one of the best moves in free agents. Better than the Saquon Barkley move.
That's what we...
Well, that one I'm not sure, but I mean, we'll discuss that in a second. But for I agree with you, but the thing that's puzzling to me is that the Ravens let both Gus Bus go and J.K. Dobbins. They're both gone. So they're going to be looking for a running back in the draft. Now, as far as Pollard going to Tennessee, with Brian Callahan, it's probably not going to be the same type of offense that Mike Vrabel ran. So that he might be a better fit in what they're looking to do. But in today's NFL, you're absolutely
right. How much more different is it than what Mike McCarthy was doing? I mean, one year they were successful with Pollard and Zeke. And then when Pollard was the guy, they weren't that successful in the running game. I'm just saying, I don't give a fuck what the system is. He's not going to be effective as the guy.
Yeah, well, and he may not have to be. I mean, you don't. I without looking at the roster, I don't know what else they have.
They don't have a quarterback.
No. Well, I mean, Will Levis might be serviceable, but you're right. They don't have the guy. They don't
serviceable
have
serviceable doesn't work if you don't have a running back.
Yeah. But we don't know what kind of offense they're going to run. This is probably in Tennessee. This is probably a 2 or 3 year rebuild, would be my guess. Baltimore, though, I agree that him going there it made sense, but you're right. I mean, they're going to have to find, it's going to have to be something by committee because he's not going to be able to carry 30 times a game and be a workhorse.
Well, 30, they're not going to try to run in 30. I was talking like 20 to 22, and they're not going to run in that many times. They don't need to.
No.
It's not going to work with what they're trying to do. And I don't think they need the other running backs anyway. You can get many running backs. But Pollard in Tennessee, that's not a thing. They're not going to be very good.
No, and
it's the Pete Carroll effect.
And with the Tennessee, they're absolutely on a rebuild. A new coach, getting rid of a star player in Derrick Henry, and also they would
quick
have
question
to,
though.
Yeah.
Quick question though, if you are doing a rebuild in Tennessee, let's say like Frank said, it could be 2, 3, 4 years, whatever their rebuild, whatever their process is. Why the fuck would you pay all that money to Tony Pollard and bring him in for what? Bullshit.
I didn't say they were smart.
They're not smart. And what they're thinking is they're not rebuilding. You're thinking that for them. That is not their thought process. Or they just draft a fucking running back in the whatever, the third, fourth, fifth round.
They'll probably
it wouldn't matter.
But probably do it also. The money they could be giving them couldn't be coming from that extra TV money that just came towards the cap. But I'm thinking if you're them, you absolutely have to be thinking rebuild because you were in the AFC Championship like 2, 3 years ago. Now you're the last place team in that division. Like seriously, the Colts, certainly the Texans and the Jaguars are better than the Titans in there. So they are going to be looking at a pretty dark year, maybe two.
Absolutely, I agree. Once Anthony Richardson comes back, though, the Colts should be pretty good. He's pretty good.
We'll see. He was looking sharp. We'll see if he can put up a full year like Stroud did. Let's make this a segue onto what we were kicking at there for a second. Saquon with the Eagles. Are you guys in the old school of the no matter what, you should never move to a divisional rival? Or is that old school thinking? Do these kids even care?
In this day and age, I think rivalries between NFL teams matter more to us than it does to the teams or the players.
I agree.
Because they're thinking about is the bottom line. And I don't blame them. If I had the ability to go to any team and get a $50, $60 million contract, I wouldn't give a shit if that team was in the same division as the team I play for or not.
Does Saquon...
I mean, is it shitty? Yeah. I mean, Tiki Barber, a little salty about it, but you know what, Tiki? It's business.
Right. I think the last time we ever saw this be a thing was when Favre went to the Vikings. That might be the end of the like a complete ire from another, but that's being the Packers Vikings. That's probably a little bit different than the Giants Eagles. Maybe not. What were you gonna say, Dennis?
Well, I just don't necessarily think, you know, like with the Favre deal, that was animus. He wanted to get first of all, he was fucking completely irritated that he got sent to the Jets. But as far as any of these kids having any sort of loyalty to any of these teams, they don't. That's why the rivalries and the division shit, I think matters to them. The old rivalries, like, I don't think they matter to them as much as they do to us. That stuff mattered to us. You know, when I grew up, the Niners, it was all about beating the Rams, the Saints, the Falcons. That's all that mattered. And Dallas.
And the short time little rivalries there with like the Giants, you know, and then the Packers in the later 90s. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
By the way,
so
you just.
And I still hate those teams.
Yeah. And by the way, you just inspired me to make a T-shirt. If you want to get me irritated, send me to the Jets. So.
Yeah,
I'll get right on that.
Unless you're Aaron Rodgers, then you ask for it.
Yeah, which he did. Does Saquon? The Eagles are already an elite team. They were just in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Last year, they started really good, and then it went. But does Saquon really make that much of a difference?
No, he doesn't. The problem with the Eagles is their defense. Their offense, they can fix that offense all they want. They already had a good running game. They got good receivers. They have actually really good fucking receivers. They paid their quarterback a gazillion dollars because they think he's great, which I debate that, but they think he is. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. Their secondary sucks. Their linebackers aren't that great. And their defensive line is pretty good. And that's what you're dealing with when it comes. And that's why they got beat. That's why they melted down in the second half of the season, is because they don't have a defense.
They couldn't stop anybody.
The irony of that is that in the first half of the season, everybody talked about that Eagle defense. It was what took them to the Super Bowl the year before. And then the Kansas City shut them down in that Super Bowl. They had no sacks, literally no pressure on Mahomes.
And
they came out
to San Francisco.
Yeah. And then that's oddly, you bring them up. When San Francisco went in there and donkey punched them at Lincoln Financial Field and just beat them like they owned them, that team collapsed. I honestly think the reason they went after Saquon is they're trying to emulate something that San Francisco did with Christian McCaffrey. That's the only reason I can think of it, because to me, I was pretty convinced that Saquon Barkley was going to the Texans. I figured that's where he was going to end up in Houston. That to me made far more sense than him going to Philadelphia, but he went for the money.
If he's smart, that's where he would have went. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Frank. That would have been a much better place for him to go. It would have been a much better, because they would have been much more logical. And they also run that Kyle Shanahan style zone blocking scheme. It's not exactly like it, but it's a lot closer. I think he would have had a lot more success there. Philadelphia, that's the fucking Titanic, people. Start pulling your ripcord. Get the fuck off that ship, because it's sinking.
Why do I hear Celine Dion singing in my head? I don't know. Maybe I'm really high. I don't know what's going on, but
yeah, it's your
that just scares
me. Your love of French Canadians, Frank. Just admit it, man.
Who doesn't love French Canadians?
Real quick on the Saquon Barkley, and just real quick, which was greater, which is going to have a greater impact on this Eagles team, the absence of Jason Kelly or the gain of Saquon Barkley?
The absence.
I agree.
Yeah, the absence. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, running backs, and this is not to minimize Saquon because he's a talented player. Running backs are a dime a dozen. Pete Carroll literally drafts a running back every 4 years just so he can cycle through him, so he didn't have to pay him. So that tells me that how he values a running back. If you want to win in this league, you need to have an offensive line. And somebody like Kelce, that's been an anchor for that many years, losing him, yeah, that's going to be a hard position to fill.
And he never won or made it to a Super Bowl without Marshawn Lynch. But yeah, go ahead.
Carroll.
Replaceable.
Yeah, yeah.
They're replaceable.
All right. Yeah. The third and final one I want to talk about, and that'd be Mr. Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. As a lifelong Redskins fan, especially having to endure the Dan Snyder years for 23, 24 years, Washington was always the laughing stock of the free agency game. Always an F plus, D minus, Albert Hainsworth, you can name it. It's such an embarrassment. But I wasn't joking when I said this a good 5-6 years ago. The best free agency move Washington made in that tenure was not signing Cousins for the Buku money. And as it turns out, the guy's been in the league 12 years and produced one playoff win and is now going to have the second most guaranteed money in the league behind Mahomes at Atlanta. What is Atlanta hoping to get out of this?
Stability at quarterback. Who else do they have?
The legend Tyler Heinicke from Washington, of course.
Okay, and I agree with you. The amount of money that they shelled out for that guy, when Minnesota signed him and guaranteed him $84 million, said it was whatever the money was, it was a fucking stupid contract.
Why?
And then.
Okay, we're not going to agree here. So I'm ready for you to go, Frank. Go.
Okay. What did he produce in Minnesota? Winning seasons. But I mean, what did he get them for that money? I mean, if you're looking at spending that kind of money, would you, okay, let me take a step back. Would you consider Kirk Cousins an elite quarterback? Do you think he's worth that much money?
Yeah. I mean, do I think he's elite? Nope. Do I think he's worth that much money? Yep.
Why?
Well, because quarterbacks, period, are incredibly fucking hard to come by. It's like coming by a really good quarterback that can actually elevate your franchise for a numerous amount of years. That's the whole game, right? You're trying to build around that guy. Now, sometimes you have a team that is pretty loaded, that is pretty ready to go, like the Niners did for years. What were we missing? We were missing a coach. So we needed a coach. We got a coach. He took the quarterback that the other coaches couldn't win with for 7 years and took Alex Smith and went to the NFC Championship game. And we realized what? Alex Smith was actually a pretty good quarterback. He just needed a coach. I actually think Atlanta has a pretty good coach. Their issue is they don't have a fucking quarterback. Now, if you give them a guy like Kirk Cousins that has proven himself to be pretty fucking good, at least in the top, I don't know, 12 to 15 in the league every single year, then why wouldn't you pay? And it's not like they paid him like Mahomes. We're talking about the market. And with the way the NFL cap is, I think it's a really good deal because if they don't get Mahomes, if they don't get Kirk Cousins, who do they go forward with? Then who is it? And where are they going to go? Do they make the playoffs? Do they even have a chance?
So let me ask you this question. Is it fair to say that with the receivers he had in Minnesota, that team was loaded?
And they were heading a good direction until he got hurt, right?
How many years was he in Minnesota?
And Jefferson got hurt. They beat the Niners without Jefferson. Kirk Cousins was quarterback. He had a hell of a game. Niners were in the Super Bowl. I mean, what do you want? He tore his Achilles.
No, I get that. Last year he tore his Achilles. The year before that. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. And I understand what you're saying. Who else are they going to get?
Why didn't they replace him, Frank? That's my point. There's a reason they didn't just replace him. The reason you don't replace him is because who the fuck are you going to rip? Mac Jones? Is that what you're going to do? You know, draft Mac Jones and replace him with that? I mean, the Patriots tried to essentially replace even a quarter of Tom Brady with him. It's such a crapshoot when you have a guy that is proven. I mean, Shanahan didn't even want fucking RG3. He wanted to draft Kirk Cousins. He was stuck with RG3. So Kirk Cousins is a baller, dude. He can play. And he's 36 years old. He's smart. He's savvy. You give him these young, really good, talented receivers, the tight end. They have a good defense. You give him these things, they might be a pretty good team. They could possibly contend for that division.
What's the full potential?
Well, the division they're in, yeah, they're going to win. But again, I mean, and you made a good point. The market for quarterbacks is overinflated. It is. And you're paying Dak Prescott how much money, and he hasn't produced shit. It is what it is. Quarterbacks are going to get paid. I'm just saying,
Look at how much money Daniel Jones got.
Yeah.
Who the fuck would pay Daniel Jones that kind of money? The reason they paid him that kind of money is because that's how scared NFL teams are. That's how afraid they are. They're like, oh, fuck. What if we don't sign Daniel Jones to a gazillion dollars? And he leaves, and then we're trash, and somebody else signs him, and they go win the fucking Super Bowl with him when we had him here the entire time. That is how scarce the quarterback market is that Daniel Jones had like six good games and got him into the playoffs. And they're like, give him a $200 million, give him $150 million, and guarantee him $100 million of it. It's absurd.
It is absurd. So the question there is, when it comes to Kirk Cousins, just briefly, what is the ceiling for the Falcons if we were to assume he's going to be there all four of the next years?
Want to take this one, Frank?
They're going to win divisions. Look at the other teams in there, Tampa, New Orleans, and Carolina. They're going to win divisions, and he does elevate that team, and it's very talented. The question I have is that, can he go further? And, you know, somebody posed a question to, why did they pay him that much, but they wouldn't pay Lamar Jackson last year, trade to pay him? And it's like, I mean, we talked about Lamar earlier. Yeah, he's a good, you know, he's quality. He's going to get you to the playoffs. But is that enough? Is that enough?
You're right. He can win. Kirk can win divisions, plural. Two out of four is probably more reasonable than three or four out of four. But I would assume they would never get the Falcons to be that one seed. So they're going to have to play wild card weekend. I personally do not see the Falcons with Kirk Cousins making a conference championship. That's the way I see it.
No, the way I see it is that these GMs and these teams, they're well aware of who the big dogs in the conference are. Everybody knows right now the Niners are loaded. They got their quarterback for another year at $800,000. They have this loaded team. They have arguably the most money under the cap. They are the big dog of the NFC. They're the reigning champ. So then you have these other teams that are really good. Your Dallas, we'll placate to people, Philadelphia, some of these other teams. They're now thinking, look, we have to get to the playoffs because our fan base is starting to not so much give a fuck. So what we need to do is win the division. And honestly, if you win the division, you're in the playoffs. And you got a home game. Anything can happen at that point. Whether you have Kirk Cousins or whatever it is. I mean, Minnesota made it to the NFC Championship game a few years ago when they got rolled by Philadelphia. So, I mean, you can make it there. And that's what they're looking to do. You need to give your fans hope. Is that worth what they're paying Kirk Cousins? Abso-fucking-lutely it is. You want to pay him? Or you want to pay some rookie that you already did that and it didn't work out, I would pay Kirk Cousins, work on the rest of the team, get some draft picks together, and build the team. They're not going to the Super Bowl next year. I don't give a fuck who the quarterback is. So I think it's a good move.
As far as the team itself goes, they have a they're not a really horrible team when it comes to talent. They have talent there. So to your point, I completely understand why they signed him. I just don't think, I mean, I'm, to me, he's not a, he's a needle mover, but he's not going to be the guy that you're going to be saying.
Frank, the question is not, do you think Kirk Cousins is going to take Atlanta to the Super Bowl next year? Because if anybody does and they have insight, I will head straight to the fucking casino, sell everything I have and put it on it, because I guarantee you the odds will make you a millionaire.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Nobody's thinking that. I'm just saying I fully understand why they did it.
Not to get off topic, I just got an alert. Maybe you guys saw this. Allegedly, because we mentioned him when we were talking about overpaid quarterbacks, Dallas police are investigating an alleged 2017 sexual assault involving Dak Prescott.
I saw that too. Maybe that's something for the next time we talk. We're going to stick with the alleged part here as far as, you know.
Okay.
Let's just stick with alleged.
I did say alleged. I did say alleged.
I appreciate that, Frank. That's great.
I don't want to get us sued.
Please. No. Yeah, thank you.
Where's your inside of it?
And finally.
Breaking news. Let's go to Sherm Scrotum. Yeah. Breaking news.
Sherm Scrotum.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, Josh.
Guys, any other final thoughts about the free agency news this week? Something very brief. Anything that stuck out to you, the players that stayed, players that were not re-signed? I know there was a big deal that Baker Mayfield got what he got down in Tampa. I think Tampa was thinking the same thing. You know, some of these other teams are thinking, if we don't have somebody, we better get and we better keep somebody.
Same thing as Atlanta. He just already played there for a year.
Yeah, so
you don't need Kirk Cousins to play there for a year. You know what you're getting.
I agree.
That's fair. The one thing, and Josh, you and I talked about this a little ahead of time. The one thing I was a little that miffed me was going into free agency, the Chargers were about $30 million over the cap. So they had four of the 10 highest paid players hitting the salary cap this year. I assumed they were going to move on from three of the four, but they restructured Bosa. They restructured Mac. They cut Mike Williams. Hanging out there is the one guy that I thought they were really going to work to keep. And that's Keenan Allen. They haven't really made a decision on him. So I don't know if they're going to trade him. I don't know if they're going to cut him. I don't know if they're going to rework him. And that one intrigues me, because I would think that you would want to keep him of all of them.
I hear you. I agree with you. Anything else?
He's kind of getting older, for one. But, well, I mean, out of all of them, the problem with Bosa is he's injured all the time. But, I mean,
I know.
With Keenan Allen, I get it. But what does he want? Is it the fucking we're just backing up the Brinks truck, or is he going to be reasonable? If he's not going to be reasonable, fucking let him go. Jim Harbaugh's there now. You don't need Keenan Allen. You don't need crutches with Jim Harbaugh there. He'll fix that shit. He'll get that all figured out. So I would tell Keenan, either get on board. You've been in the NFL a long time. You're rich. We'll pay you a lot of money, or hit the fucking road, go find somewhere to play. And
and the problem with the Chargers, well, besides the fact that they hired some fucking idiot as their last head coach, their general manager handed out a lot of money to these players 4 years ago. Keenan's pulling $20 million a season. So I agree with you. If he doesn't rework it at his age, because they drafted Quentin Johnson, they've got a whole stable of young receivers.
Let's keep it real. He's got one good year left in him.
Maybe
one,
two.
one, maybe, and we're saying that because we're trying to be nice. But when we go back, there's one Jerry Rice. Everybody else, he's about that age where they start to fucking lose a major step. Not just a step, a major step. And he's in that arena. I would not fucking pay him. Absolutely not pay him.
No, and I agree, but where I'm at is that he was the one I figured they would work the hardest to rework. But getting back to your point about Jim Harbaugh, Jim is an old school coach. He builds from the lines and builds back. And so signing Mack and Bosa, reworking them and keeping them for the defense, looking at it now, it does make sense. But I don't know. I don't think they're going to go for Brock Bowers with the fifth pick. I think they're going to go for an offensive lineman and work for it. Yeah. And go get maybe get a tight end in the second round. But yeah, no, I agree.
Fuck, dude, you can get tight ends in the 12th round. He doesn't need to deal with that right now. He needs to work on getting guys that can fill some holes, that can stay healthy on that defense. Most importantly, I'd have got rid of him anyway, because they're kind of rebuilding this thing. They already have the quarterback. There's so many fucking receivers out there. It is like fucking breakfast sandwiches at McDonald's drive through. They're just flying out of there. If he wants to go, dude.
And you're right. The sad thing with them rebuilding, the saddest part is, for the last 4 years, they've had a playoff contending team, but not a playoff caliber coach.
No, that's because their coach has been brutal. But now they have the kind of coach where they don't need any of that shit anymore. So he can go. Jim Harbaugh needed none of this in San Francisco. Make no mistakes. This dude is already a fucking 1,000 light years ahead of the game with having Justin Herbert. The dude he is right. When he found out he got that job, he fucking pounded his wife to death that night and probably hasn't
allegedly
fucked her in 10 years.
I wonder if Connor Stallion taped that. Not that I want to watch it.
Okay.
I'm just kind of curious.
All right. We got to be wrapping this up here in just a minute or two. Thank you for your guys' insight there on the NFL free agency. A couple more things real quick before we get out of here. One, I know, Dennis, you said give you a heads up if we're going to talk any NCAA basketball. That'll be talked about next week after the selection shows. But this one, just asking you guys briefly, when it comes to championship week in college basketball, or the holiday bowl-o-rama in college football, which one are you more apt to just stop and actually watch? And what I mean is teams that you have no clue where the fuck they are located. Like if you're watching the MEAC semifinal, or if you're watching the Poinsettia Bowl, which one would you actually be like, you know what, I'll sit and watch this. You know, why not?
Like if I was at the bar and there was a completely irrelevant football game on, and there's two TVs in the bar, and there's a completely irrelevant football game on one TV and a completely irrelevant basketball game on the other one, I'm probably going to watch the football game.
Well,
I can deal with bad football. I have a really hard time dealing with bad basketball. That's my problem with college.
Do you ever find yourself though watching during like this time of year, even if it's like these stupid conference tournaments, because it's not irrelevant in that sense?
Yeah, if they're in a bracket and I have money on it, yeah,
okay,
they matter.
So Dennis says yes. If I have money, yeah,
I'll say this. I don't know that there is such a thing as a bad football game, but
there is, Frank.
That's a great question. I probably would lean towards the football as well, simply because I'm not sure that I'm really that invested in Sam Houston State A&M versus Arkansas Pine Bluff State. I don't know.
I'd rather watch their football teams, Frank.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's what I said.
I'd rather watch Creighton's football team.
the mighty Blue Jays.
Well, the answer is you're both wrong. It's a championship week in college basketball. That's it. The winners get to the March Madness. Come on, fellas. It does mean something. Well, so we'll break.
No, I love it. I love March Madness. That's when I love college basketball.
It's all good.
I just have
a
hard time with it during the year.
Yeah, the November November college basketball can be rough when it's like Iowa versus the EA Sports All Stars or some shit that they put together, and you're like, hey, I remember that guy used to play for Georgetown 15 years ago. Boy, is he fat, fatter than me. This is final subject before I let you guys get on out of here. Thanks for joining me on today's show. This is an important one. I saved the most important for last. If you were to give me your top three, you only get one topping on a pizza. What are your three choices?
So wait, that's a confusing question because you said you three
rank them
and then one
rank them so three rank them.
Okay,
you only get one.
Okay,
you can't have all three, but give me a ranking.
Okay, you go ahead, Dennis.
Pepperoni is number one for me.
Okay.
Hamburger would be number two. And I mean, like Canadian bacon or some shit like that.
Now we're talking. I'm a Canadian bacon guy myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Same three toppings, but in this order. Canadian bacon, hamburger, pepperoni.
Okay. Okay. I'm on board with
all
that.
Right. This is good pod, guys. So no one's going pineapple solo.
I wouldn't eat pineapple on it if it was a pussy made of pizza.
Isn't that the next Star Wars spinoff, Pineapple Solo?
I believe you are right. Yeah.
Okay, that was a horrible one-liner. I will put a dollar in the jar for that.
Please do. But it won't keep you from getting invited back to the show. So thanks for your rankings there on that. As I wanted to keep, so every week there will be a top five that also includes polls from social media. I just wanted to start with what I consider a softball. We'll go with something everyone can chime in on, and that's the one topping pizza debate of all time. My rankings, I'm a Canadian bacon, pepperoni, and beef guy. So we found a lot of variance between the three of us, really. We picked the same three fucking things, just in a different order.
I don't understand how you guys like Canadian bacon better than pepperoni.
Pepperoni gives me heartburn.
Is that your only reason? Do you think
basically,
it tastes
yeah.
better? You think it tastes better, though?
I do. I do like Canadian bacon better than I do pepperoni.
Okay, Josh, you can end it.
Okay, that's a good, yeah.
Wow. that escalated quickly.
Just for you, Dennis, I will throw my fucking laptop. I will send a limo for this cocksucker to get over here. You think I was afraid of him, a 180 hitter picking fucking Canadian bacon? Get the fuck out of here. That's how we tie a bow on that. All right, until next time, guys. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Josh. We'll see you guys later.
We'll see you, my man.
They got new fans pizza at Pizza Hut. Pizza made with cheese. Dripping with that wonderful please, can I have another slice of Have you tried new pan pizza at your Pizza Hut restaurant? Made by hand in a special pan extravaganza. Get it at your Pizza Hut. New pan pizza. Come and get it.
You're listening to the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Now back to the show, you handsome devils.
That's right, we're back. The Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. JLSBX, if we were. That there was a fantastic Pizza Hut commercial from the 1980s. Not a sponsor. Just like to throw in the retro commercials every now and then.
because that will then segue into what we got going on here, what we just were talking about with Frank and Dennis. And again, thanks to those guys for contributing onto the show. If you'd like to contribute onto the show via the polls, you can check them out via Facebook or Twitter, JLSBX polls and such. This week, we do the Friday Five every week, and I figured I'd start with episode one. We do a softball, this one being pizza toppings. One topping. You're given one topping option on a slice. What are you going with? And the results are in, coming in at number five in somewhat of a little bit of an upset. Mushroom. Number four. Extra cheese coming in there. And that could be anything you want. Number three, Canadian bacon. Number two, hamburger. And number one, that no surprise at all, pepperoni being your number one topping. This according to you guys and the show here. Surprise sausage not making the top five there. As I was talking here, March 15th, 2024, after talking with Frank and Dennis, and this is how volatile and how exploding the news cycle is, especially in the sports world. After we got done arguing, debating the free agency pool that it was, shortly after, breaking news, Russell Wilson from Denver going to Pittsburgh, which we can break down on the next episode if we need to. I personally think that's a great move for Pittsburgh. They've always, under Mike Tomlin, they're always a playoff team. Only two whiffs in 20 years, if I'm just going off the top of my head. Only one Super Bowl championship. Do I think Russell Wilson puts them over the hump on that? I don't, but then again, you don't know what other pieces they could add to that. But with that being said, as mentioned between the fellas as we were talking free agency, Pittsburgh gives up on Kenny Pickett after only two seasons as he goes to Philadelphia to play backup to Jalen Hurts. So there you are. The NFL quarterback carousel is constantly spinning. Pickett out at Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson in there at Pittsburgh. We'll see how that shapes up. The AFC North is certainly not without drama. That division could go 11-6 to 8-9 between any of those four teams. It really could. You just never know with quarterback injuries, so on and so forth, who gets hot. So we'll look into that in the next coming week as we try to break down the free agencies heading into the draft in the next upcoming weeks. Other things to mention before we get out of here. If you're watching TV as a sports ball fan, you got plenty to watch this week. We've got the Tour Championship is going on. If you're into golf, it's in day number two right now. But also the selection shows, as I always like to make fun of, yet I still watch them. Shows of people listing off things, specifically the NFL draft, or these shows, the selection show Sunday for the March Madness tournament. Never before would you ever imagine that such a show would get such a ratings of people just listing off things. And not only are they going to list off things, they're going to list off 68 things, and then they're going to list off about 300 more things, being the teams that did not make it. So that's high drama. It makes good ratings, and that's going to get everybody all excited for the brackets. Notice we didn't talk much of college basketball today because there's no need to, because Monday is going to be jam-packed full of it. We're not going to break down every single matchup, but we will throw in our two cents on what is going to be going on in March Madness. So a lot of much CTV over the weekend with that. The NBA and NHL are winding down. This is a very exciting month for sports. The great debate has always been which is better, October or March in sports. I think it's a toss-up. It just really depends. October for the obvious reasons, but March with not only just March Madness, but we're getting closer to opening day in baseball. We've got the NHL and NBA playoffs. WrestleMania, if you're into the pro wrestling, that is a huge event. So much to cover in the next coming month. This has been episode one, and again, I am very excited to be back into the fray behind the microphone here doing the pod talks.
This was a learning experience to learn how this show was going to go. So all apologies if maybe there's some hiccups or glitches, but I don't think there was, especially with my guests. They did a wonderful job. Again, another shout out to Dennis Brown and Frank Rapier, who you will hear on this show quite often, I hope. Other guests to be coming soon. So that was your Friday Five. That was your free agency talk. That was episode number one. Next time we'll be on will be Monday, right after St. Patrick's Day. Give you your best hangover episode that you could ever dream of. Till then, this is Josh Lamb for the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Be good to each other. Don't cost nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.